Oh, yeah. It's Monday. It's rainy. We're going to make it great. We're going to get through it. And that lawn is going to come up so lush and so green. Yeah. Always look for the positives. And thanks for bringing us along. It's 8:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is with me. Hog Roast Saturday. Big Hog Roast. Woo. 11 to 4, Gainesville, Harley-Davidson. Make plans to attend. Plenty of stuff for the whole family, including a whole hog and sides from locally owned Sweet Meats Butcher Shop. I can attest to the incredible quality and flavor of their barbecue there. Sweet Meats is sweet. Live music, Brantford Highway, games, prizes. Like I said, for the whole family. Proceeds benefit the Rotary Club of Gainesville. And when the wife's not looking, take a look at the new 2025 lineup, including the 2025 Nightster, starting at just $99.99. Their sales folks would be more than happy to help you out. And it might not just be... you know, the mister looking for himself when the missus.
That's true.
Could be the other way around.
Hey, quick sky traffic alert for you. This is Marion County. US 27 there at Northwest 60th Ave. Right shoulder is blocked. Got a vehicle on fire. So,
well, that's not good.
No, it's not.
We went from a barbecue to a carbecue.
I know. It's not a good combo.
Yeah, no, but it's... No, barbecues are much...
Oh, much more much pleasurable. Better. Yeah.
Yeah. Al, who's going to lead... The Democrat Party. I think I know who that is.
Crazy Crockett. She is crazy. Cray-cray, as they like to say. Yeah.
She is going to be the future of the Democrat Party. Possibly.
That's a scary thought.
Well,
I mean, I like it, but for them, it's kind of scary.
She said recently that Democrats have their sights set on a specific candidate for the 2028 election. Really? Huh. Crockett was speaking during an appearance on the Urban View radio broadcast with hosts Clay Crane and Reese Colbert and The Wrap. This was on Saturday. The discussion centered on possible candidates, and Crockett, who wants Democrats to target President Donald Trump for the good of the nation, claim that there is a fear within the party and primary system of voting for a woman because each time they did vote for one, the party lost. She continued, and I think that's a natural fear because we just want to win. So there's a lot of people who are like, you know what? Let's go find the safest white boy we can find. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, that worked for him last time.
Yeah, well.
Okay, well, you know.
The time before, right?
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, no, for real, to be clear, when we talk about them, I can tell you that there is one specific candidate. I had a donor on the phone with me telling me that all the donors are lining up behind that candidate. So I can tell you, it's not a black person nor a woman, okay? And then, of course, she took a few minutes to... bash President Trump. People fail to recognize how unique Trump is. She says, well, we lost. Well, they both lost to Trump. Trump, who is a misogynist. Trump, who is going to ramp up the misogynist the first place because that's what he does. He is disrespectful. Like right now, he doesn't know how to deal with me. Because if you punch me, I'm punching back, okay?
You think he cares about her, really?
No, I don't...
Their self-value is really skewed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she says, yeah, they're going to have a safe white boy as their candidate.
Are they looking at pretty hair from California, do you think?
He's got to be, at least in the mix.
Has to be. I mean, now they might consider him safe. We consider him a lefty radical, kind of, but they wouldn't see him that way.
Nope. But I'm just wondering, who else could she be referring to? Certainly there's nobody else that has that kind of high profile. Yeah. Not like him. So, but it's not going to be a woman, she said. Not going to be a black person. Okay. All right. President Donald Trump's 17th week back in the Oval Office. We'll see him focus on a visit to the Middle East, which will mark the first major overseas trip of his second term. But really, the biggest news of the day, clearly, is, you know, working on these talks with China. And the overnight markets went crazy. What was it at last? Kind of, he was over 1,000 points up. So this is excellent news. Now, what are they doing? A 90-day deal. But that'll give them time to work out the finer points. I'm very hopeful that things can work out. And I was concerned about how long this was going to go on. And not because we can't sustain it, but because you have enough crybabies on both parties that say, stop it. Stop the pain. You're ruining the economy. Well, if you have an economy that's just based on the stock market, we're in more trouble than you think. Yes, it's an important marker. Yes, it's an important component. But if you can't, you know, make things right, knowing it's going to disrupt the market a little bit, but in the end, you're going to come out far, far ahead. It's the old, you know, adage. Sometimes you got to take one step, you know, back to take two steps forward. You know, go take a lesson at something like golf. You know, the pro tries to fix your swing, and you go out there and you go, oh, I suck. I don't know why I did a lesson and all that. And it takes time. And then when you start to incorporate exactly what the pro told you to do, you start to see success. You're like, ah. And it's not magical. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to be perfect after that. But for the most part, you will build on that, you know, better rhythm, better smoothness, and all that you're accomplishing, and then you just have to get that muscle memory locked in there. Well, same thing. If Trump wants to be a disruptor to make trade fairer to Americans, that's what we have to accept, disruption. And disruption always sends the market into a tizzy. They don't like to not know what's coming, good or bad. Good or bad, they can prepare in certain ways. They don't like it when it's it looks like a wild card. But he is, once again, we're not out of the woods yet, but once again, it looks pretty darn good. And a lot of the warnings that the left and so-called economists and these so-called experts who have been so wrong about Trump before, well, apparently this is just another one to add to the list. Trump was right about another thing. The Department of Homeland Security announced that the ACLU dropped its lawsuit alleging the department unlawfully deported a U.S. citizen child along with the child's mother to Honduras. In an announcement Saturday, DHS referred to the suit as baseless lawfare. The ACLU filed the lawsuit after ICE removed Jenny Carolina Lopez Villela, an illegal alien and Honduran national. According to ICE, Villela chose to leave the United States with her 2-year-old child. Shortly after the removal, the ACLU filed a suit questioning the circumstances of the departure of the child against ICE and Department of Homeland Security. So they're basically saying, hey, why'd you deport the kid? And we're like, you're kidding, right?
Yeah.
We didn't deport the kid. We deported the parent. And that parent actually wanted to, like, you know, take their kid with them.
But if you didn't deport both of them, they would say what? You're pulling children from the arms of their mothers.
Yeah. Ripping them apart.
Ripping them from their mothers. Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
You can't win either way with these people. They try either way.
Come on.
Idiots.
Dim plane.
Yeah.
Is Trump getting a new plane?
Ooh.
Is gutter the country paying for it? Huh. What's going on there? Is this a good idea? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming your way on the Monday edition of the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Thank you for having me back after a nice little getaway, a couple days vacation.
Thanks for being had.
In the Philadelphia area, where my mom's side of the family all hail from, and we had a great get-together. I'm just very blessed with, you know, a large family and cousins and all that that I didn't grow up with, per se, because my mom and dad met in Atlantic City, New Jersey. My dad visiting from Detroit, my mom visiting from Philadelphia. And so they corresponded through the old U.S. mail. And then one day my dad apparently just popped the question via mail.
Wow. Hmm.
And the rest, they say, is history. But I grew up in Detroit, but my dad was very, very diligent about making sure that, you know, my mom would get back to visit her large family every year. I think maybe with the exception of one year, we went every year. And always, so I always had a blast with my cousins. And it's, no matter how long goes on, it's like we can pick up right where we left off. And it was a good time.
Growing up, I still had some in Texas, which is where my mom's family moved after she graduated high school, and still had some back in Mississippi. So we would try to do, when I was little, I remember that we would try to do Thanksgiving in Mississippi, and everybody would kind of come together there. Because my great-grandparents had the it looked like the Waltons' house. It was the huge table that one of my great-uncles, who was a woodworker, had built.
Wow.
And it was full of people. So, yeah.
That's
fun,
nice.
Fun times, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, so, yeah, happy that I got to be able to do that. Although I am paying for it now. I had a little something with my throat even really before we left.
Yeah.
And now it is not feeling good. It's really when I swallow. Talking, at least, doesn't feel painful to me. But when I swallow, it's like, ow.
It'd be a great diet.
Yeah, I know, but it's I guess it's not painful enough to overcome my hunger.
Well, you know, you pick your battles there.
You know, you can't goof around with this stuff. I told Betsy on the plane. I showed her like the end of my Oakleys, my glasses.
Yeah.
I said, "You take this end here and you poke it right here into my trach."
Uh-huh.
That might be the only thing that keeps me alive if this throat closes up.
Oh.
And of course, she takes me with a grain of salt as usual because I'm full of it. But in that case, that really is how George Washington died in bed in Mount Vernon.
Yep.
And one of the doctors that was there, like an attending physician or whatever, he knew about the trach, helped to kind of develop it, was still extremely experimental, and they were afraid of it.
Right.
And so they did not perform a tracheotomy on George Washington, and he died. And if they had done the tracheotomy, well, he would have survived at least, you know, then. And it was all, because his throat basically swollen shut.
Mm-hmm.
And that doctor went on to perform that many, many times after
that. So Washington could have lived longer.
Yep. And so I was like, I don't want to be George Washington.
No.
Please, you know, take a pen or do something and poke me in the throat.
The ink pen, you know, the case of the ink pen. Take the insides out first, people. But, you know, you can use the ink pen and you've got it to air.
I'm not saying I want that to occur, and I'm not even saying I could perform that easily on someone else.
So we don't get the practice or anything, is what you're saying.
Well, not on people, I wouldn't.
Okay.
And not on beagles, either.
No, President took care of that. No, that was all good news last week.
All right. And we're talking about how we've progressed on medicine. Now, you can look at your face. Yeah, I know what's the matter for you, huh? Huh? You're not putting enough garlic in the old sauce, huh? In the gravy, yeah. A simple selfie could hold hidden clues to one's biological age and even how long they'll live. This is according to researchers from Mass General Brigham, who developed a deep learning algorithm called FaceAge. Using a photo of someone's face, the artificial intelligence tool generates predictions of the subject's biological age, which is the rate at which they are aging as opposed to their chronological age. Face age also predicts survival outcomes for people with cancer. The AI tool was trained on 58,851 photos of presumed healthy individuals from public databases. The test, to test the tool's accuracy, the researchers used it to analyze photos of nearly 6,200 cancer patients before radiotherapy treatment. Among the people with cancer, the tool generated a higher biological age that was about 5 years higher than their chronological age. And they also tested the tool's ability to predict the life expectancy of 100 people receiving palliative care based on their photos, then compared it to 10 clinicians' predictions. Face age was found to be more accurate than the clinicians' predictions that were actually, you know, working with these patients.
That's pretty incredible.
So, yeah. But, you know, what are they going to go by? Like, wrinkles? Because you could have wrinkles on your face because maybe you were exposed to too much sun.
Right.
So why wouldn't they look at, like, another part of your body, not your face, to determine aging?
I'm pondering that. I'm just wondering if there are, if it just, if our face is where that shows up. And again, yeah, you've got the external things that come into play, but I don't know.
And do you want to know? What if I know, well, I feel like it's going to go, yeah, you're like 90. You've aged like you're 90. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Like, how's that supposed to make you feel?
That's encouraging.
Would you want to know?
I don't know. Would you make changes is the question. If you are optimist or assertive enough, like if it says, hey, you only got 8 years left, dude, would you make changes in your lifestyle?
Maybe. Yeah. I guess it depends.
Or just go for it, enjoy what you got, and do what you want to do. Depends on your personality.
Yeah, and where you're at in your life.
Yes, that's true.
8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot more to talk about, including solar plant. Anyone? Better have a backup plan. Details on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, still got some wet roads. Just be careful. Good morning and welcome. It's 8:35. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, 877-975-9825. And some of your top stories. I mean, we're working things out with China. I mean, we're giving the tariffs a pause. You got 90 days. And we're going to figure this out. And the market's already reacted in an extremely positive way. So I think that's fantastic news. On the other hand, leftovers from previous administrations, generally. Mm-hmm. But a bill now is working its way through the Texas legislature. Now, some people aren't all that crazy about it. But basically what it does is, do you remember Spain had that huge power outage?
Oh, yeah.
And they say it really could have been a lot worse. And they, you know, they have a precarious situation.
Well, it was like Spain, Portugal, and part of France.
Yeah.
It was huge.
So, you know, take this, you know, as a harbinger and pay attention to what our grid is like. Well, a bill working its way through the Texas legislature caused some double takes. Some of the language. Here it is. State Bill SB 715 passed the Senate this week. This is in Texas, remember. Okay. If adopted by the House, it would require any renewable power providers to buy backup power, typically from coal or gas plants. Texas consult energy expert Doug Lewin wrote in his analysis of the legislation that the measure would require solar plants to buy backup power to match their output at night, a time when no one expects them to produce energy and when demand is typically at its lowest anyway. Double takes aside, the legislation is part of three Republican bills advancing through the state that could offset Texas green energy progress and give fossil fuels an advantage in the state's energy market. Texas generates the most renewable energy in the nation. The bill, however, is supported by a conservative think tank called the Texas Public Policy Foundation. They argue traditional power sources are still needed to make up the unpredictability of wind and solar power. Well, and that's exactly right.
Makes sense, yeah.
And apparently in Spain, it was a solar power plant had something to do with the overall failure. A state business lobby group disagrees, evoking the same fear of blackouts. The Texas Association of Business predicted that the measure would lead to unpredictable supply, costing the state $5.2 billion more a year. And consumers would spend an average of $225 more per year in power costs. The Hill reported that power providers won't be able to build conventional generators fast enough to keep up with the demand because, remember, they lead in these so-called renewable energies. Every morning it's renewed again with the rise of the sun. And every evening at sunset, the power grid goes dark. It's, all of the above approach to energy. But if you have to have backups, you know, then you I don't think you took in all the variables to begin with. I mean, they didn't in Spain, at least it appears. So, yeah, you'd have to have backup. Be nice if your electric car, some of them do, but be nice if it had backup. Oh, battery's dead. That's okay. Yeah. Your backup, you click on this other thing.
There you go.
It's a Briggs & Stratton 3-horsepower, but once you pull that cord, it'll get you down the road. Now you're not going to be doing 65-70.
It almost sounds like, though, that you think a hybrid concept might be a really great idea.
That's because it is a really good idea. Yeah. Humvees. They're pretty tough. They look tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Washington State Patrol said, though, not when they fall 30 feet. Oh. Military Humvee crash went over a retaining wall in Bellevue, Washington on Saturday. It was pulling a trailer traveling eastbound on Interstate 90. The outlet noted that the vehicle drifted, exited the roadway, crossed a shoulder, and fell approximately 30 feet onto Southeast 38th Street. Trooper Rick Johnson shared the images of the crashed Humvee and said the vehicle had drifted to the right. However, it remained unknown why the Humvee did so. Two people were injured during the crash, did not involve other vehicles. According to Johnson, it was possible the two individuals who suffered minor injuries were transported to the medical center. So the military vehicle was part of a convoy believed to be en route, and Johnson noted the Humvee was pretty damaged. And so anyway, they said it's a hardcore truck, but falls 30 feet. It's going to be heavily damaged. And that reminds me of when we were headed to the airport yesterday. And I got to tell you, I-95 in Philadelphia, that thing is a mess. And it's been a mess as far back as I can remember. It's always under construction. And I guess a lot of places you can probably relate to that. But it really was, it's a mess. And so we're trying to avoid it to some extent. And then we finally had to get on it. Yeah, it was slow. Then it picked up a little bit. Then it was good. And then there was a place where it looked like a lot of the folks were exiting. And to the left. It was one of those left-hand exits. Well, I think somebody might not have been paying attention because you hear that sudden, hard squeal of the brakes. And then, boom, this SUV up ahead of us hits another car. And then it's almost like flailing out. You know what I mean? Like the inertia pushed it out across the lanes, meaning right in front of my lane. And I can't take credit for it. All I can do is say the good Lord was looking out for me, but I did. I turned that vehicle, and I'm not exaggerating when I say maybe 2 inches from making contact. It was tight, tight. It's one of those deals where you have to swallow and breathe, and you really don't want to talk for at least a little while, you know? And Betsy cheered me on, like, wow, good move. Because she was looking down at the time. Well, she was being my navigator, right? She's looking at the phone, and she didn't see what was unfolding until the very last second. So she looks up and sees a car sideways headed for us. It was
that's scary stuff.
It was. It was,
and it happened so fast.
Oh yeah.
Again, that's why. Hello, paying attention to traffic while you're driving and the things like that you see and hear around you could be important.
Very much so. Yeah, and then also you got to look out for bears.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I saw lots of signs, more for deer. Deer right. Crossing here, deer crossing there. I did see a deer. Poor little deer on the side of the road. Aww. And I say little. Yeah, not that little.
Oh.
Deer in Pennsylvania get pretty good size.
Biggins.
Compared to Florida. Authorities did confirm Friday, so Greg probably shared this with you. Did you have the information by them?
We knew that they had shot two of the bears and that they were beginning their investigation.
Yeah, well, so, apparently They went in and did autopsies or whatever of the bears.
Right.
And they found human remains.
Okay. So. That confirms them. So.
Yeah. It was the first fatal black bear attack in the state, according to FWC. Hmm. Collier County Sheriff's Office alerted FWC to the situation Monday. Family members said there were signs of recent disturbances that could have been caused by a bear or bears. And investigators note several key findings. Physical encounter between a bear and a person near the residence, a dog recently killed by a bear in close proximity, signs that a bear had entered the residence itself. The exact sequences of events remain unclear, but when they sent it to the lab, there was DNA results that showed positively that it was the It was the man.
What a bummer. Involved. That's sad.
You'd think it would have happened maybe before.
Yeah.
Not according to records, I guess. It's 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Top headlines and more on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Stock market's going up. We're going to work a deal with China on trade. President Trump is going to lower prescription prices via executive order this morning, probably in about 40 minutes. Life is good, man. I told you we can make Mondays awesome, and we are. Absolutely. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:51. And the United States and China agreed Monday to a 90-day truce in the raging trade war, with each agreeing, for now, to slash reciprocal tariffs by over 100 percentage points. That'll bring China's rate down to just 10%. Under the agreement, the U.S. will drop its 145% tariff rate on Chinese goods to 30%, while China lowers its rate from 125% down to just 10%. Stock markets reacted sharply and in a very positive way. The consensus from both delegations this weekend is neither side wants decoupling. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said this after high-stakes talks with Chinese officials in Switzerland. And what had occurred with these very high tariffs, it was basically an embargo, the equivalent of an embargo. Neither side wants that. We want a trade. We want more balanced trade. And we're not in a position to fully decouple, and we won't be for a long time. But we are going to have to take the pain of having to rebuild at least some of our industries that are going to be critical should we have to go to war, unfortunately, or supply chains are interfered with. There's some basics that we have to at least be able to produce some of. And the president's going to work on that. And he's been working on it. And companies are investing. I mean, literally trillions of dollars are going to be pouring in. But they can't build factories and start producing things overnight. It does take time.
Yep.
China's commerce ministry said the two sides had agreed to cancel 91% of the tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. The initiative aligns with the expectations of producers and consumers in both countries, serves the interests of both nations, as well as the common interests of the world. The Geneva meetings were the first face-to-face interactions between senior U.S. and Chinese economic officials since Trump returned to power and launched his global tariff blitz by slapping hefty duties on China last month. So far, it looks like it is going well. It's not going to be without its hiccups. It's not going to be for lack of volatility that we're still going to see in the market, probably. But when things are going well, and things in general, I think, are heading in a very positive direction, hey, let's take a minute and say, yeah, these are good things going on. You know, the problem, you know, with the vast majority of the mainstream, lamestream news is they can't paint a positive picture because it's Trump. Huh. If the orange Hitler-like man gets all the credit, it's going to be bad. He's going to get a third term. People are going to turn to conservatism and capitalism as a way for a country to be wealthy and that they'll provide opportunities for people of all educational levels and all ethnic backgrounds to succeed. They can't have that.
But they may not be manipulated onto who to vote for if they get that education.
Well, that's exactly right. And listen, if people feel like, you know, they can do it on their own, given proper opportunities, they're going to do that. The Democrats, they see, they need you to rely on them. That's all they have to give you. Hey, go out there in the big bad world. When you get your face kicked in a couple times, come on back to us. We got a nice comfy little place here, and a check we'll write for you, you know.
Yeah.
No use breaking a sweat and all that. But we all know that if you want to be successful, and people measure it differently, but you've got to put in the hard work, you've got to make some sacrifices, and you're not necessarily going to fail any less. Just the old martial arts, you know, adage. You know, fall down seven times, get up eight.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen it. I witnessed it firsthand with my family, my relatives.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say, you know, for those who got out, so to speak.
Right.
You know, and succeeded. And, everybody had, you know, very similar opportunities, but not everyone has done as well. And then again, that depends on how you measure it, of course, too. It's not all measured. It shouldn't be all measured by wealth. Hey, hang in there, my friends, because the 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next. You're listening to 97.3, The Sky.